CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This segment on Fired Up with CJ, Rodney Michael, speaker, author, and expert in behavioral change, discussing guilt and shame. That song really does encapsulate it, doesn't it? That kind of sense of sadness. And
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry I couldn't fill your expectation. I'm so sad I couldn't do it. And, you know, it is painful to
And that sense of wallowing. That is what happened. I mean, is that song perfect?
It's perfect.
It is
but there
perfect
isn't
song.
An element of deep sadness in not being able to fill the expectation of someone you love.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And oftentimes there's just fear of not filling other people's expectations. Mm-hmm. But sometimes there's a great deal of sadness. If you're dealing with a parent, for example, and you really would like to give them what they would, you'd like to fill their expectations, but it's simply not who you are to fill those expectations.
What to do with that sadness that when that arises?
Well, you know, I'm starting to sound like a broken record, right? You feel it.
Yeah.
You acknowledge what it is and you allow it to be.
Yeah.
And you explore, what does it feel like to be this sad?
Yeah.
You know, because it's what is. It is your life at that moment is that sadness.
Yeah.
And that's what meditation, what being alive, really truly alive is about, is living your life filled with what it's filled with moment to moment, rather than trying to make it be a certain way.
Yeah.
It's not easy, but it certainly makes for a happier life.
Okay.
And a life with more ease.
So let's do a recap of the whole three segments. What are the three takeaways you want people to take away? Or one takeaway. One to three takeaways that you want people to...
Well, first thing always is go to your body to see what it is that you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if you're shrinking, if you're feeling sad, if you're feeling like you want to shrivel up and disappear, it's probably guilt and shame.
Yeah.
Right? Secondly, ask yourself, what's the expectation that I'm being asked to fill?
Mm-hmm. Okay,
because that's important. If you can start to hook those two emotions with an expectation, there's a way out of it then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then ask yourself, do I agree that that's an expectation that I want to fill?
Mm-hmm.
Do I agree it's the right thing for me?
Mm-hmm.
If you do, then you have an answer to that question. If you don't, you're clear. You don't even want that expectation.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you're laying on yourself.
Yeah.
Next, listen for the I shoulds. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I should be doing that. If you've decided that it is an expectation that you want for yourself, you might say, okay, I should. Then you ask yourself, okay, wait, what is it that's stopping me from being able to live that expectation if it's mine?
Mm-hmm.
Which will take you in a different direction than saying, I should have done it. What's wrong with me? How come I'm so defective that I can't meet my goals and live my expectations?
Right.
This is the kind of dialogue that is the result of guilt and shame, whether you're aware you're feeling it or not.
Right. Yeah, so I think that, one of the ones that's just a classic one that we talked about in the second segment is someone trying to make you feel guilt and shame about getting married. And if you apply what I think the main takeaway is, which I'm hearing is a process. The first is to be clear of the expectation at play. In that scenario, what was happening is a mom expected the daughter to get married, and the expectation was, you'll be happier.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So then what you did on the inside is you said, what is the expectation? Oh, she thinks I'm going to be happier. And I kept on saying, mom and dad are going to be way happier. And my parents will be happier if I get married. Can I fill that expectation?
Mm-hmm. Do I want that expectation?
Do I want that expectation?
To be a part of my expectation.
Right. And then tell me a little bit about what that. So it's like, do I want that expectation? And in your case, you're like, no, I don't want that expectation. I don't believe that being married is going to make me any happier than I am right now. I'm pretty happy right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And it doesn't mean that you have to say you don't believe in marriage or you don't want to get married, for example. It may mean that you're happy doing what you're doing and you're not interested in putting time and energy into going on Match.com or eHarmony or other places to find a mate, that you're doing other things with your life that are making you happy.
Right.
So to go ahead and do that because your parents or your society feels that that's the better way to find happiness when you're already happy,
right,
doesn't make sense. Now,
right,
someone might say to you, well, you're kidding yourself.
Right.
Right. Nobody, what do you love being alone?
Right.
You know, now then you would have to ask yourself again, are they trying to guilt and shame me? Yes. You know,
right,
from a slightly different angle.
Yeah.
Well, do I believe that being lonely is better than being together?
Yeah.
No, not my expectation to be alone either.
Right.
My expectation in this case, this scenario we're speaking about, is to be happy. I am happy right now.
Right.
I don't want to miss it.
Yeah.
I don't want to miss my happiness that's happening the way I'm doing my life this moment.
Right.
And maybe next week I'll decide I want to go join He Harmony. But
at that moment,
the intent of being aware and living your life the way you want to live it is off, and you want to do it consciously, then it's to live with what it is.
Yeah, right. You could actually, so what I'm hearing you say is that you could have that exact same conversation with your mom a week from then, and if you were feeling at the moment, yes, I do have that expectation for myself, and I care about it at that moment, for whatever reason, something did, then it's a different story.
Yeah, could be.
Okay, so the other thing I think that I wanted to mention is, you know, what happens when people, you know, I stopped barraging you, and there are parents who are way more aggressive, who won't stop.
Yes, what
do you do when you have a parent who's just boop, boop, you know, constantly trying to guilt and shame you? How do you get them to stop?
I think trying to get them to stop is not your best strategy.
Okay.
Your best strategy is asking yourself, what's the best way for me to relate to them?
Okay.
And it may be to limit the amount of time you spend with your parent.
Mm. That's like a hard one.
It might be, but it may be in your best interest as a child with an incredibly aggressive guilt and shamer as a parent,
mm-hmm.
whether it's obvious or whether it's passive or active.
Mm-hmm.
You may decide that it's in your best interest to spend only 3 hours a week with that parent,
mm-hmm.
right? And in those 3 hours, you can probably deal with it.
Right.
But it's when it becomes, when you're with a parent every day or every week, or you talk on the phone all the time and you get the same thing, it starts to wear down your sense of self-esteem.
Right.
And you have to take care of yourself in that context. So I'm not saying you disown your parent.
Right.
You know, some people have done that.
Right.
But definitely when it's really bad, you have to limit the amount of time that you spend with that parent in terms of actual interaction.
Any other kind of successful strategies that you've seen people use in terms of trying to stop?
If you can get your mom and dad to go to therapy with you, that'd be great. Take them to a meditation retreat. Again, I hesitate to support you in trying to change the other person. Change yourself, and change in the relationship will occur. I guarantee it.
Mm.
Because the relationship is about what happens between two people. And when you focus on shifting your behavior, your responses, that relationship will alter. Because you will not be buying in to the guilt and shame the way you were before. You're not biting on the hook. It will change the dynamic in some way.
What a wonderful place to end, because that's actually absolutely true. And I've felt that myself. You change yourself and it will change the whole thing.
It always does. And I think it's a pretty magical miracle.
Yep, Gandhi. He was right. That guy knew something about life. I want to thank you, Ragni. Thank you so much for sharing your advice on this, which is something really important, I think, because so many people suffer.
It's my pleasure. A lot of suffering is not as needed as we think.
Yes. Chris, our station manager, did such a beautiful job with picking songs. He makes me smile. Next Thursday on Fired Up with CJ, we have Bethany St. Clair, who's going to talk. She's a feng shui organizer, and she's going to give us some advice for the summer and how we can feng shui our house and our lives this summer. See you next Thursday at 4 p.m.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.